I'd like to turn to 1 Corinthians 15, also Philippians chapter 1. Read the first four verses in 1 Corinthians 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. There in Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, Paul, writing to saved individuals, gives this exhortation: only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Today, the word conversation is almost applied exclusively to oral discourse, to talking. But the old English word for conversation means walk, not talk. Now, in that walk, of course, is included our manner of speaking. But the word translated conversation is the same word we get our word politics from. It's politeo. It means to live as a citizen, to conduct oneself according to the laws and customs of a state. So Paul is saying, let your conduct as a citizen be as such that becomes the gospel of Jesus Christ. Or let your living be appropriate to the gospel of Christ. Or let your manner of living reflect the gospel of Christ. So from this, we see that Paul is writing to those who knew something of the gospel. And from this, we see that there is a way of living that is appropriate to the gospel. Now notice again in Philippians 1, verse 27, the scope of this life that is becoming of the gospel. He says that whether I come and see you. Now, Paul's writing from prison. He's alluding to the possibility that he might be released from prison and soon be permitted to visit them. That whether I come and see you. But then he says, or else be absent. Still confined or perhaps released, but unable to come and see you. But notice those two words, whether or and or else. So Paul is saying, no matter what happens, live a life appropriate to the gospel. Whether I come or whether I do not come, live a life becoming of the gospel of Christ. From that we gather that, again, there is a life that is appropriate to the gospel of Jesus Christ. But we also learn here that circumstances has no bearing upon this life. Whether I come or whether I do not come, he says, live a life that is becometh, let your conversation becometh the gospel of Christ. So circumstances have no bearing upon this life. So we want to speak this evening on gospel-appropriate living. Gospel-appropriate living. Notice, first of all, that there are some prerequisites of gospel-appropriate living. It should be obvious, of course, that this life cannot be lived separate from the gospel. It cannot be lived separate from the gospel. Paul says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Now I gather from that the only appropriate way of living is that which becometh the gospel of Jesus Christ. All other living is inappropriate. All other living is wrong. Only let your life, let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. We gather from that, again, no matter what happens, this is to be our concern. Only let your life, let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. In other words, whether I come or whether I be absent, Paul says, let this be your concern. Does my conversation, does my life align with the gospel of Christ? Now, in order to live such a life, there are some things that are absolutely necessary. And we see these over in 1 Corinthians 15. There must be a hearing of the gospel. Paul said in verse 1, which I preached unto you. And in verse 3, I delivered unto you. So there must be a hearing of the gospel. But a hearing of the gospel is not enough. It is a necessity, but it's not enough. There must also be a receiving of the gospel. And it is to be received in a saving way. Again, in verse 1 of 1 Corinthians 15, which also ye have received. I preached unto you the gospel, which also ye have received. Verse 2, by which the gospel which was received, also ye are saved. So it was received in a saving way. A person can, I suppose, receive the gospel in an intellectual way. That is, they agree with it, they don't argue with it. But unless it's received in a way that saves, you cannot live a life that corresponds to the gospel. This is explained in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, if we turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, what is meant by receiving the gospel in a saving way. Paul says, we are bound to give thanks alway to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through Sanctification of the truth. That's a very good verse. It's not the verse I want. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, so there's a hearing, there's a receiving, ye received it not as the word of men. That's how the gospel must be received. Not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. And how do we know when we receive the word of God in such a way, which effectually or effectively worketh also in you that believe? When the gospel is received in a saving way, it works. It works in us. It's a power inside of us that is always effective. So from this, we see that the receiving of the gospel is more than a head knowledge of facts. It is something that has an ongoing impact upon the life of an individual. That is, when it is received in a saving way, it has an ongoing impact within that individual. The death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ on our behalf is a power that works in us. That's what happens when the gospel is received in a saving way. Now, this is absolutely necessary for a life which becometh the gospel of Christ. The fact is that too many people are trying to live a life that becometh the gospel of Christ that have never received the gospel of Christ in a saving way. That is, it doesn't have an impact upon them. It doesn't have influence in their lives. In other words, there are people attempting to live a gospel-appropriate life apart from the gospel. Can't be done. That's an exercise in futility. Also, the gospel must be a foundation in one's life. So we must hear the gospel. We must receive the gospel. And the gospel must be a foundation in our life. Again, 1 Corinthians 15, in verse 1, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. It's a standing ground. We're not going to live a gospel-appropriate life. We're not going to live a life that becometh the gospel of Christ if we do not stand upon the gospel. If the gospel is not a foundation in our life. So, wherein you stand, what does that mean? It means that we stand upon the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ on our behalf. We stand upon that. This is absolutely necessary if we're going to live this life. So, if we receive this gospel in a saving way, it's not something that is separate from us. It's not something that is separate from our life. It's effectually working in us, and it is a foundation upon which we stand. In other words, it continues to be real. And unless that is so, one is not going to live this life that becometh the gospel. Notice also that the one who has received this gospel, the one who stands upon this gospel, must also be mindful of the gospel. Verse 2, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory. If ye keep in memory what I preached unto you. And if you do not keep it in memory, then the truth is you have believed in vain. In other words, you just believed historical facts and you did not believe savingly. So, if we're going to have our life, a life that is becoming of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we must receive the gospel in a saving way. We must have the gospel as a foundation in our life. That is, it's real. And we must be mindful of it. A person who is saved does not forget the gospel. They don't forget it. First of all, it's in them. It's working. And they're mindful. And Paul says here, if ye keep in memory. And if we don't, it just shows that we have believed in vain. That is, we just believe historically rather than savingly. So we must keep in memory the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ on our behalf. These things are an absolute necessity. So now let's look again at the character of the gospel. Paul says in Philippians 1:27, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. He is declaring there that the gospel is a motivator to a certain lifestyle. It is a motivator to a certain way of living. He states this truth, notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and verse 15. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, that's the gospel, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live, so there's a life that corresponds, should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. So the gospel, savingly received, is a motivator to living life. Motivational speakers, of course, are very common today in the business world. Unfortunately, they're also very common in the religious world. People need outside motivation other than the gospel. Why is that? It's because they haven't received it. Because if you receive it, it's working in you. And that gospel motivates you. Let me tell you something. If the gospel doesn't motivate you, some motivational speaker is not going to. The gospel is a motivator to living. And here in 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4, we have the elements of the gospel. We've seen that this morning. And as we look at the elements of the gospel, we need to remember these words. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel. Christ died for sins. He was buried. And he rose again on our behalf. So let's consider Philippians 1:27 in light of the gospel. If we're going to live a life that becometh the gospel, then we must understand the gospel in order to live this life. The gospel, first and foremost, is of divine origin. By that, we simply mean its source is God. The source of a life that becometh the gospel of Christ is God. That's the source of this life. If you have any other source, it's not going to work. So, the genesis, if you will, the rise, the initiator of such a life that becometh the gospel is God. God is the source of this life. Religious education is not the source of this life. God is the source of this life. Parents saying, do this, do this, do this, is not the source of this life. God is the source of this life. And it's the only way the life can be lived. So this is a life that is not independent. It is not apart from God. Too many people want to try to live a life that becometh the gospel, but they want to live it independently of God. That can't be. The gospel is not independent of God. And neither is this life. Its source is God. The source being God, the source of this life being God, just like the gospel is not something you and I work up, it's not something we produced, so the life that becometh the gospel of Christ is not something you and I can work up. It's not something that is self-produced. It is of God. It is of God. And it began when we received the gospel savingly. So again, the gospel is of divine origin. In other words, it did not come from a human source. It is not the invention of man. It is not the idea of man. It is not the philosophy of man. It is not the opinion of man. And it is not dependent upon human reasoning. And the life that becometh the gospel of Christ does not come from a human source, is not the invention of man, is not the idea of man, is not the philosophy of man, it's not the opinion of man, and is not dependent upon human reasoning. It is not based upon philosophy. People say, what is your philosophy? Other than your philosophy being the Word of God, it doesn't much matter. This life does not depend upon man's philosophy or ideas. It's dependent upon God. In fact, not only does this life not depend on the ideas of man, the reasoning of man, it's contrary to the reasoning of man. This life that is becoming of the gospel is strange to the world. It's a strange way of living to the world. It's not only strange, it's hated by the world. And it's misunderstood by the world. It's misunderstood because they don't understand the gospel, which is the basis of this life. So the source of this life, just like the source of the gospel, is God. Also, the gospel is very particular. It's very particular. So particular that if you begin to add anything, you do away with it. You do away with it. It's very, very particular. It is distinct. It is precise. The gospel is very, very precise. The gospel is not random. The gospel is not hodgepodge. And the life that becometh the gospel of Christ is a very particular life. It is a very distinct life. It is a very precise life. It is in no way a random or hodgepodge life. It is precise. The world can't stand that kind of life. The gospel also is a declaration. It is a proclamation. It is a presentation of God. It is the declaration, it is the presentation of God's love, of God's grace, of God's mercy, of His goodness, of His kindness. And the life that becometh the gospel of Christ is a life that declares, it is a life that proclaims, it is a life that presents God. And the world can't stand it. It is a life that presents God's love, God's grace, God's mercy, God's kindness, God's goodness. To live a life that becometh the gospel of Christ means that our life must present God. It's not just about our talk. It's that our life presents God. The truth is, those who talk about God and whose life does not back it up, they would be better off to zip it, to keep quiet, because they do more damage than they do good. It is our life, our words also, but primarily it is our life. The gospel is the message of God. And our life is to be the message of God. It is to be a message from God. The gospel is a message to sinners. And our life ought to be a message to sinners. The gospel is a message of hope. And our life ought to be a message of hope to the lost, that if God saved me, He can save you. If God made a difference in my life, He can make a difference in your life. Our life ought to be a message from God, just like the gospel. From 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 3, we see the very first and central element of the gospel is Christ. Very first word of the gospel. First element of the gospel is Christ. The gospel is about Christ. There is no gospel without Christ. The Jehovah's Witnesses do not preach the gospel, because they do not believe in a Savior named Jesus Christ. There is no gospel without Christ. Those who preach a system of works have eliminated or added to Christ. They do not preach the gospel. Without Christ, there is no gospel. There is no gospel without Christ, and there is no life that becometh the gospel of Christ apart from Christ. So Paul says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. The life that we are to live is to be all about Christ. The focal point of the gospel is Jesus Christ. The focal point of a life that is becoming of the gospel is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ defines the gospel. He is the definition of the gospel. And the life that becometh the gospel of Christ, again, He defines our life. It is a life that is defined by Christ. Our motives are defined by Christ. Our reasons, our viewpoint. It is all be defined by Christ. That's what it means to live a life that becometh the gospel of Christ. It is a life shaped by Jesus Christ. It is a life pursuing Christ as our goal. It is having Christ as the determination of our life, the direction of our life, the motivation of our life, the driving force of our life. The gospel always draws attention to Jesus Christ. If it does not draw attention to Christ, it cannot be the gospel. The gospel always draws attention to Jesus Christ. And the life that becometh the gospel of Christ is a life that draws attention to Christ. We must ask ourselves, do our lives draw attention to Jesus Christ? Or do our lives detract from Jesus Christ? There are many false gospels out there. And they all detract in some way. Some of them just come subtract, but they all detract in some way from Jesus Christ. And when we live a life that detracts from Christ, that's a false gospel. We're to live a life that draws attention to Jesus Christ. From 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4, we see the gospel is about what Christ has done. It's about what Christ has done. The life that becometh the gospel of Christ is about what Christ has done. It's about what Christ has done in our lives. It's not about what we have done. It's about what Jesus has done. And our lives ought to manifest that. Our lives ought to manifest that Jesus Christ has done something, has done a work, and is doing a work in our lives. Death has been conquered. Heaven has been opened. Sin has been put away. Therefore, the life that becometh the gospel of Christ, it's a life of faith. Christ died for our sins. That you believe by faith. He was buried, and He rose again. And the life that becometh the gospel of Christ is a life of faith. It's a life of hope. Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again. There's hope. And our lives ought to express hope. Our lives ought to express assurance. It's a life of humility. How can we read those words, Christ died for our sins, and not be humbled? A life that becometh the gospel of Christ is a life of humility. It's a life of love. Love for the Lord. Again, how can you read the elements of the gospel, having savingly received them, and not love the Lord that saved our soul? So it's a life of love. It's a life of gratitude. A life that becometh the gospel of Christ is a life of gratitude. We may not always be able to be thankful for our circumstances. But I can always be thankful for the fact that Jesus Christ died for my sins. That Jesus Christ saved my soul. We just get our minds on the wrong things many times. It is a life of gratitude. It's a life of joy. It's a life of joy. The life that becometh the gospel of Christ is a life of joy. How can a person consistently be downtrodden and be a good testimony? I don't believe it's possible. This is a life of joy. It's a life of praise. It's a life of desire and passion for the glory of God. It is a life of surrender and service to God. For those who are truly saved and mindful that they have been saved, mindful of how it came about, you don't have to convince them to be surrendered. You don't have to convince them. You don't have to talk them into serving the Lord. They love the Lord. And they're going to do these things. And that is a life that becometh the gospel of Christ. Again, part of the gospel is Christ died for our sins. and the life that becometh the gospel of Christ. I mean, when you think again, think of those two words, our sins. After you have received Christ as your Savior, you hate sin. You detest it. There's a contrition, there's a remorse. There's an avoiding of sin. And the life that is becoming, the life that becometh the gospel of Christ, detests sin. It hates it. And it has remorse over sin. The world can laugh and the world can mock at sin. But a child of God, there's remorse for sin. The gospel is working in them. And there is a striving to avoid sin. This is the life that becometh the gospel of Christ. We read in Romans 1 verse 16 that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And the life that becometh the gospel of Christ is a life of power. The gospel is what God uses to bring about salvation of the souls. Salvation is an actual person-changing, life-changing event that has a definite, immediate, and ever-increasing and lasting impact upon the individual. And I don't believe that there are any exceptions. The moment an individual is saved, there is a definite and immediate impact. And it is an ever-increasing impact that gospel worketh effectually in you. And it is a lasting effect and impact upon the heart, upon the mind, upon the emotions, upon the soul. In other words, it's not merely some flash-in-the-pan experience. And so it is with this walk that becometh the gospel of Christ. It's not just a one-time, ever now and then walk. It's not based upon a flash-in-the-pan experience. It's based upon a miracle of God. And it is a consistent walk. The life that becometh the gospel of Christ is the salvation life. It is living salvation. Lastly, the gospel is about victory. And the life that becometh Christ, the gospel of Christ, is a life of victory. We all know that in earthly life we face powerful foes. We face massive and menacing and intimidating obstacles of all kinds, challenges. And there is Satan with his demonic forces. And there's the world with all of its antichrist philosophies and opinions and ways and pursuits. But we have victory. We have victory through Christ. And the life that becometh the gospel of Christ is a life living that victory. And lastly, for sincerely now, the gospel is a message for all places and all times. And the life that becometh the gospel of Christ is a life for all places. Whether it's the school, whether it's the workplace, whether it's the home, whether it's the store, doesn't matter. This is a life for all places, and it's a life for all times. We are constantly being, it's constantly being shoved down our throats how times are different. Yes, they are. That doesn't change the gospel one iota. Nor does it change the life that becometh the gospel. It's a life for all places. It's a life for all times. however it might change all around us, we are to live lives that becometh the gospel of Christ. And the more antichrist the world becomes, and it becomes more antichrist by the day, by the hour, the more the individual who lives this life is going to stand out. I mean, this isn't a life you can hide. If we lived in a culture of morality, perhaps you could blend into the crowd a little bit. But if you have any semblance of this life, there's nowhere to blend in. You're going to stick out. People are going to notice. There's only one way you'll go unnoticed in this world, and that is if you begin to fit in with the world. Then they won't pay much attention. We are to live, as Paul said, whether or else, no matter what happens, we're to live this life, no matter what it costs. We're to live a life that becometh the gospel of Christ. Sometimes we have to, well, what should I do? What should I do? Live a life that becometh the gospel of Christ. That's always our responsibility. That's always the right thing to do. And you'll never, ever lose out by living such a life. Oh, it may cost you a job. It might cost you a lot of things. But you won't lose. You'll be the victor. Every single time. So we do thank God for the gospel. We thank God that we heard the gospel, that we received the gospel, and that it effectually worketh in you. I remember very well when the Lord saved my soul, aunts and uncles, my dad. Don't worry about it. He'll get over it in a little while. Never have. Never have. Because when God saves your soul, it's not something you're going to get over. Nor is it something you want to get over. Now, if you just receive the gospel in a factual way, a head knowledge way, you might get over that. But to receive it effectually, you never get over it. And that's what enables us to live a life that becometh the gospel of Christ. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in a verse of song.